Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, we welcome you to this segment, and it is with special investigator. There is Mike Polhees. It's been a while, Mr. Mike Polhees. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, it's been a while. We just needed to check with you, Mr. Polhees. Are you still alive? Everything going smooth on your side?
Yes, I'm alive. I'm sure if I die, about everybody will hear it within half an hour, and I'm sure you guys will all miss me. All is good. We're fighting the crime vehemently.
Yes, and that's precisely what we need to ask you, is that don't you feel like a target and people are after you because you are trying to put away crime?
Yeah, I never feel that, but I know that. But by the grace of God, He is my breath, and only He can take my life or let it be taken. And I'm very blessed, very protected, and also very loved, but there are some that hate me. But by the grace of God, I'm fighting the crime with my team. We're being very successful and making a difference, and assisting everybody. And we love everybody, and we want to make this difference and assist everybody. So I hope to, I'm 64 now, I hope to reach, let's say, 94.
So here's the particular thing that we have an issue with currently. And in fact, I have been telling one of our colleagues that we need to get Mr. Mike Polhees to give us some insight on this, the WhatsApp. I know you've been warning us so many times of the cybercrime and how this has become the crime of the time. This on WhatsApp now, I'll be honest to say that amongst our members here at our organization, Yamarka Sahaba, one of our colleagues, it was a few weeks back or a few months back, maybe a month or two back, I received a message from him. And he said, can you please assist me? I need about 4,000 rands, or I can't remember the exact amount. And I even went to my wife and I said, but he doesn't ever ask for money. Maybe we should just try and see how we can assist him. And he used even Islamic words, like greeting, with the Islamic greeting. So it really felt like it's legit. So the next morning, then there was a message that went out to say that that was a hoax. In fact, one of his daughters sent out the message. And we're seeing this so many times. It's happened with so many other people, hackers on WhatsApp. And then they give you these details of banking details and that. How do we protect ourselves from this?
Yeah, this what you're telling me is doing the rounds, and it's very prevalent. So if you know your people that is in your life, you must always check up. If somebody asks you for money, and anyway, one of the first things you must always do is, and you must always do it, I don't care if it's a family member, your grandfather or mother, or a business partner, or whomever, you must find out if it's factual. In other words, you pick up the phone and you call them. Because what these scammers do is they steal an identity. And they're very clever when they steal the identity. They, as you say, will use the language and the greetings and everybody and everything else that everybody would be usually doing with that person, and using that information then to move that person. But you cannot, and it's got nothing to do that you do not trust that person, but you have to identify if that person is that person. And that's what we must do today. Because you cannot see that person, because it's an electronic and a digital communication, you need to confirm. So you just pick up the phone, call the person and say, listen, what's the problem? I see you need 4,000 rand. How can I assist? And you just check it out. If the person on the other side is in fact the person, then it's a different story. But you have to check it out. Otherwise, you can fall for this scam. So with the devices today, the smartphones, it's very important that everybody knows their phone like the palm of their hand. And they must be careful for any kind of scam, because they're always clever. That includes anything like a bargain in the car industry, or a holiday, or, you know, anything that the criminals can use as merchandise or to move you, they will use and lure you in order to get your money. This whole aim is to get your money and to move you. So you cannot, number two, you cannot be moved emotionally. You have to do a thorough identification, investigation, risk analysis, and you have to then make an informed decision after you've checked it out thoroughly and properly before you ever buy or sell.
It was just strange, because I thought I'd never ever get caught even into believing these things, because we always, with your warnings and you alert us on certain things, so we tend to do this. But that particular thing just caught me, and I just express gratitude. We say shukr that the message went out the next day, that so many other people also got saved. But here's a question that I was thinking about after that then, because remember they sent the banking details. Could we not use that banking details and then track them down with those banking details?
Yes, we can. But let me just ask you, did you pay the $4,000?
No, I didn't.
Brilliant, brilliant. All right. So, yeah, that information can, that information can definitely be used in investigations, but it's very difficult and expensive to track and trace the people behind, because they're also clever there. It's false information. Remember, these scams are all, any and everything that's being used is false. It's not that person, that's false. And that banking detail most probably belongs to somebody else. And there again, if you have close relationship with people and you get this kind of a request for paying money, you must always check out the banking detail as well with that very person that you're calling. It's a good thing to do a double, what I call a double identification. Yes, it's you on the other side, and this is the banking details that they have used. And if that person says that's definitely not my banking details, then you have a confirmation of that, then it must be reported, him and you, to the banks that this banking detail is being used in a scam. What most people don't do is that they don't confirm the banking details and they don't inform the banks. If you call the bank and he calls the bank, both of you, which has been his identity stolen and you being could have been scammed, and inform the bank, then the forensic department will immediately jump on it. They go for small amounts, so the moment they see it gets hot, they don't use that account again. But they many a times use the criminal himself, the cybercrime criminal, use somebody else's account. It could be a child's account, it could be a family member's account, or it could be a fake account. There's so many fake accounts, it's unbelievable. I have a problem here with the banks, because they don't always check out these accounts properly. There are many accounts there that hasn't been thoroughly checked out by the bank, and it's a huge problem. And the criminals cannot flourish in this country if we have a very strict, proper, controlled banking system. But unfortunately, the banks are lenient, and they let these criminals open up accounts, not deliberately. They also are caught, and there's also a lot of misrepresentation and fraud being committed. So they, at the end, in my opinion, is responsible.
Yes, and I just wanted to know, with your experiences with cybercrime, in that often, not myself, but many of those in the upper classes and who have a lot of money, they are stuck or they are struggling. Do they make this decision that they have got cash? Do they put it in their bank accounts, or how do they manage this here? Because there's been many leaks within bank accounts or banks themselves, amongst employees, and information, private information, reaching others. And this is how so people are finding it difficult to make this decision. Do we put our money all in one bank? Do we split it amongst banks? Do we keep the actual cash? What do we do? What's your advice on this?
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation because it goes without saying, if you don't trust the banks, you're going to keep in the banks as little as possible what is necessary to do business, because you don't want to draw attention, because your information will definitely leak out. A lot of these crimes that are committed, these criminals has their connections in the banks, or in the cell phone companies, or in the security companies, or even in the police. All big crimes, all kidnappings, hijackings, extreme business robberies, business hijackings, mine hijack when they hijack a mine, any extreme serious economic crime, hand in hand with a violent crime, and then also making use of a cyber aspect as well, cyber criminals, will have contacts in four or five of these that I've just mentioned. In the cell phone industry, the banking industry, the authorities, municipality, and other corrupt syndicates, organized crime organizations, etc., etc. It cannot flourish unless those five are involved. So if you're a rich businessman, surely somebody at some stage is going to give that, you know, or talk about it, or give that information out, sometimes not even deliberately. And if you are a rich businessman and you flaunt all your information on social media, your Porsches, all your cars, your holiday homes, and how much you make, your gold, your beautiful watches, especially the wives, then you are opening yourself up. Because the first thing that these entities, these criminal entities do, is to try and get as much information of social media of you. And it's very easy to get. And once they see, that is the flashing point. I always say, don't flash your stuff like the Kardashians. That's where they get enticed and interested, and that's when these extreme kidnappings and business hijackings and all of that happens. So cash, yeah, it is also a difficult thing, because cash it's not so easy, because cash becomes, if you have a lot of cash, where do you put it, and how do you secure it, and how do you protect it, and what happens if something happens to you? So you need to be very careful with cash and how you work with cash. And then obviously you have to take the rules and regulations of SARS in our country also in consideration. So we've had many cases in the past where people would come to me and say, listen, we know our husband has had a lot of cash and he had cachets, and he's had a stroke now and we don't know where it is. Or we know he's put some gold away, or there's some place where he's hidden some very extreme valuable stuff, jewelry and stuff, and we can't find it. So that's a concern. And then the leak of information. You know, you sometimes think nobody sees, but somebody might see you doing something on a regular basis, and that might leak out. Or things go wrong at home and people turn against each other, and that leaks out. So it's a very difficult decision to make. But if you can secure your money in banks, you must go out of your way to do that and keep it private and confidential. And yes, having different accounts with smaller amounts in would always help. And then also, if you have cash and you've made that decision, you need to make sure that it's very secure, but you have to have people that you absolutely trust that knows what to do in a case of an emergency.
Here's a question. A person is saying, I was searching for a suitable spouse and I went on this nikah app. So nikah app means Islamically you're searching for to get married, and it's this app where you can find the right person, the suitable spouse. But this person is saying, a female, saying that, but the man behind the scenes, he doesn't want me, he wants my money, and he's threatening to expose my body. I'm shocked at this because I never shared such information ever to such anybody, in fact.
Yeah, look, this is photoshopping, and the men must be very careful of any of these apps. As a matter of fact, don't get on them or go on them. If you want a beautiful, good, believing, religious wife, you must find that in your community with where you go to church and in the community and people that you trust, and you must be patient. You cannot go on these sites, because many of these sites are being run, if not most and all, by especially those that tries and lures you in, and then they get you to send a photo or two, and then you communicate in that way. And sometimes the men, not sometimes, many a times the men show too much. They show naked photos because they get naked photos. And that is very dangerous. It's called sextortion, and I would highly suggest that after the discussion, I'll send you the link of about 10 sextortion projects, which will make the hair on your head stand up straight like mine if you read it. It's shocking. It is absolutely shocking, because if I have a photo of you, I can very easily add a naked body to it. The technology, the AI possibilities of today is enormous and is possible. And all they need is just a regular spicy conversation between you and another person, and they use that communications with a naked body and then extort you. And they say that they will put it on Facebook and in your community, and then your community will believe it, because the chat is very lovey-dovey and spicy, and then here's a naked photo of you. And nobody has seen you naked. So how can they identify it's not you? They're just going to say it's you. And they're not going to see the attachment of the head and body, because they do it in a, as we call it, they Photoshop it. They manipulate it. And the men must be very, very, very careful. This usually happens 99% with men, but it happens with women as well. So please don't go and look. Don't go looking for love in all the wrong places.
Exactly.
Go and find love at the correct places.
As you've said, in Christianity, they would go to the church. And for us Muslims, the female, if she's interested in someone, then someone on her behalf would approach the father of that person or that boy. Perhaps her father as well will go and speak to that boy. And it's very... it's private, and it's, you know who you're dealing with. It's not something that is vague, or you're not sure who's on the other side, which is very common with many of these apps.
You need to getting a wife or a partner in your life is probably the biggest decision in your life, because it can make or break you.
Another question here, I see we just have 10 minutes left, is towards this festive season now. There's, I just saw the stats just now, and 1,400 accidents took place, and this was in, 2023, 2024, so the last festive season we've seen this. Many people died, over 1,000, and how do we protect ourselves from people on the other side who serve, who can be a threat because they are drunk, or because of they are drugged also? How do we protect ourselves from this particular aspect?
Yeah, look, it's difficult to protect yourself if suddenly a drunken driven vehicle storms at you, but you must be vigilant and see if you can miss it. That's basically all there. But speed kills. So I would say, number one, stay within the limits. Number two, make sure your vehicle is up to it and has all the necessary airbags and everything working. And if you've got an older vehicle, make sure you've got everything working in working condition. Many people don't consider doing proper services and checking the vehicle before they leave, especially tires. You need to check absolutely everything of the vehicle thoroughly by a trustworthy mechanic. And then keeping the necessary distances and all the road signs and warnings. You need to be aware and awake and vigilant, and don't let anything distract you. Watch out for drinking and driving, as I've said, and anything that distracts you in the car. And then try and drive using your apps, your Google Maps, to see where there's blockages or other forms of warnings and dangers, and try and drive at a time where there's not too many going at the same time. In other words, if you know everybody in your area is clogging the roads at 7, rather leave at 7:30 or 6:30. So what I'm saying is check beforehand, make a proper plan of the route you're going to drive, and rather drive long distances 2 days if you're from Pretoria going to Cape Town, or to if you go to Durban, it's a short drive, or wherever you go, just to take in consideration driving for 14, 15 hours is not a good thing. Drive a few hours and rest properly, eat well, and make sure that you are absolutely healthy and strong. And then obviously this holiday season, be careful of any and other crimes that could be committed amongst the on the roads or at the destination where you find yourself, like spikes, road spikes. Be careful of what's in the road. You need to always be on a 360 lookout. You always must check your back mirrors, side mirrors, as well as in front. And as I've said, a very important thing is to keep the distance. And maybe lastly, pertaining driving, is you need to be patient, and you need to be extremely considerate. Road rage is a big problem. People lose it, and especially when there's taxis or other vehicles that is impatient. It's going to bring you no quicker or leave you better behind if you lose it. Just don't lose it. I don't lose it. Wherever I find, I have a driver that takes me. Not even my driver loses it. We just go with the flow. And we know there are many people committing smaller crimes on the road, like just dashing in front of you, like I said, with the taxis and stuff like that. We all just ignore it, because why would I get involved in any like that? And it would just upset you. And that you actually waste time if you get in any way involved. Needless to say, if it's a serious offense, I will get out and do something about it. But with these things that we see on the road, we must just ignore it. Be patient and be calm and take your time. When you're at your holiday destination, make sure your place is secure. Make sure you've valuables in the safe. Make sure that you... as a family, operate together. Watch out for night parties, spiking of drinks. Be careful of criminals in that area, because they're waiting for you. Remember, you're in a new area, or you've maybe been there once or twice before, but know your area like the palm of your hand. But this is what the criminals does in festive season. They know there's a lot of people coming from different places to their area, which they don't know, like the palm of their hand, which they know like the palm of their hand, and they are waiting for you. There's criminals everywhere. You're not driving away from a criminal town into a non-criminal town. You're driving in South Africa, which has a criminal mindset everywhere. You have to be vigilant and careful.
I'm glad we have a few minutes left, and I actually wanted some time to ask what are the latest crimes that you are involved in, and what's those ones which you feel that we need to be really aware of?
Yeah, the most important warning is obviously cybercrime. Know your smartphone like the palm of your hand. Study it. Ask your service provider. Set it as safe as possible. Put on all the necessary anti-spyware and all the paraphernalia that you can to secure your phone. Don't just open up anything. Don't get involved in anything. Don't be inquisitive and browse and get involved. Just use your phone for what it is meant to. And be very careful what you leave on your phone. Don't have naked photos. Don't have any pornography or anything on it, or serious political statements or stuff like that, because if a crook gets your phone, it's the next DNA. He has everything. He knows where you stay. He knows what you own. how many, where your banks are, your gate motor password, your family members, everything about your businesses. So you need to be very, very careful with your phone, that if you do lose your phone, that your life won't be all upside down. You just lose what you can quickly replace. But if you lose your phone and your whole world is upside down, you had too much on your phone. And then, be very aware if you in vehicles of value for hijackings or kidnappings. Unfortunately, I have to warn you for that. Be very aware that you as a family prepare yourselves, visualize what you will do each in a situation. If there's a serious violent crime, and do not confront criminals. They do shoot and they shoot to kill. But other than that, work together as families, as people and friends, assist the police, assist the government. Let's give them a chance. There's a new government in place. There is good news. It is getting better. Last year was the quietest, least crime festive season we've ever had. Let's make this one even better. And it's due to you guys. We bless you. And we thank you for making the effort of getting experts online and sending out our projects to get the people informed in order to be safe. If we all stand together, work together, and by the grace of God, we can have a peaceful, safe country.
Thank you, Mr. Boles, for joining us and giving us your advice. We hope to see you soon over the airwaves. In fact, hear you soon, I should say. And yes, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Blessings to everybody, all the listeners, all the lovely people. May God bless you all with health and wealth and safety, prosperity, security, insight, might, power, and may He give you discernment, and may He be gracious and merciful upon us all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.